gather here hand in hand.
Welcome to His Stories broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, again, we welcome you to another His Stories broadcast today. And if you'll do a favor with me, if you go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we just give you praise. I thank you for those who have come this morning and partaking in this program, and those that are here on this panel at this table here, but those who are listening. Lord, I ask that this would be a blessing to people's hearts, and that there would be an encouragement that would take place from all of this. And because we come in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we love you. Lord, thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Gil, good seeing you.
You too. How you doing, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, good. I kind of feel like a manly man right now.
Do you?
Yeah. this morning, I dropped my kids off from school, and there was this limb that had to be cut. There was actually a tree that had to be cut, and so I got a chainsaw out just this morning. And I just started, you know, just roar,
right.
You know, and there's something about that, you know,
a chainsaw,
and just the roar of it, and it worked, you know, it's not like I got injured or anything else, so yeah, I'm feeling pretty good right
all
now.
All right,
got
well,
a lot of
you want to feel more like a manly man? I have a couple of limbs,
right.
My know. Property here. Then
right. We can talk.
All okay, right? All right, cool. Let me know your rates. Cool.
How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. I don't know if anyone out there also knows, but I'm bivocational. You know, I pastor a church, but I also work as an accountant, self-employed as an accountant.
Yeah.
And, man, I was up until about, I don't know, right up until midnight.
Oh, my goodness.
Sending out tax returns because it was the last day to e-file tax returns. So, yeah.
Good to
know
that.
It was fun.
it was fun.
Really fun. And I see why now the tax collectors were so hated. By the people.
Right.
Hey, it's job security for
me. That's right.
But it's not always fun. So that's my world. I'm doing good, though.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Here we got a guest.
Yeah, but hey, enough about us.
Yeah.
We have a distinguished guest with us here today. He is an elder at a church here in South Bend called Gordius St. Matthew. And I've tracked him a little bit on Facebook and listened to his story, heard him share the word. And we talked just not too long ago about him coming on and sharing his testimony. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce Sean Hooker.
How you guys doing?
Doing fine, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got to this place.
I'm originally from Seaside, California. I was born and raised in Seaside. It's a little town that's nestled right between Carmel and Salinas, Monterey and Salinas, excuse me. It was an army town for a long time. There's a major army base right behind it called Fort Ord. Born and raised there.
Okay.
Went through a lot of struggles there in Seaside. I started out, you know, pretty good as a kid. I like sports a lot. I was a baseball player, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
But I got into... I grew up in the church. My parents were, my mother anyway, you know, I have four other brothers, three older, one younger. We grew up in the projects, you know, and I know it's, when people hear projects, the first thing they think is, oh my God, but we really, my mother really raised us right. You know, I was raised in the church. I started around 13 years old getting high. You know, and the first thing I smoked was marijuana. And once I started smoking marijuana, it really wasn't my thing because it left me sleepy and lethargic. And I'm a pretty hyper person. I don't really like being that way. So as I got older, around 14 and 15, I started drinking in high school. I was a pretty good athlete. At the age of 16, you know, by that age, I'd probably started snorting cocaine, which I really didn't like a lot. Then I was out. I think where a lot of the problems in my life really started was around about the age between 16 and 17. we were out and we were just drinking and stuff with some friends of mine. And we went down to the store to make a run, to make a long story short, to make a run, and ended up assaulting this one gentleman. And I got arrested. Now, that was the first time I got arrested in my life. But when they arrested me, they gave me 5 years. So they sent me to a boys' ranch. And when I went to the boys' ranch, I only did like 6 months because my appendix ruptured. So they let me out. I was a liability to the state, so they let me out. And this whole time, you know, I'm running hard. So I got out of there. I never finished high school. I went back my junior year. I didn't finish. And then right after high school, I just really started getting into the street life a lot. Yeah. You know, I started partying a lot. My mother was telling me, and by this time, my mother had remarried my three older brother's dad. And so I had a father in my life who taught me a trade. I'm a chef by trade now. And but then I just ran real hard, you know. I wish I could say that, you know, a lot of addiction people say, well, I was molested, or my parents weren't there, or life structure was just out, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So what?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, how did you get
at
to
that 13? Because we could run right past that.
Right.
You know what was the trigger?
The trigger is I think in my life I isolated myself from my family.
Yeah.
And I went to the streets, and I know now today that I was looking for an identity.
I was just going to ask that.
You know, I was looking for somewhere, man, it sounds real cliche, but somewhere to fit in.
You know, right.
And then, you know, I was at my cousin's house one day, and he said, hey, Sean, you know what? Hey, take a hit of this crack.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, well, I am not going to smoke no crack, because I was seeing what it was doing. And this is the early 80s.
Oh, man, yeah.
When it was really bad.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
And I did it, you know, and that party lasted almost 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, so I it began to get worse and worse, you know, and after a while, you know, I'd have a job for a little while and then the job would be gone. And I found myself so lost in it till it was just bad living, you know, my mom and my dad. I found myself stealing,
sure.
You know, and it's a hard addiction because I was the type of person. It made me a very unsensitive person because I would steal from people who I knew weren't
needed it probably, right?
And from people who I knew, I mean, I knew my mom wasn't going to call the police on me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I knew my dad wasn't going to turn me in.
Right.
You know, and the drug, it switched my chain of thinking so much till I became a very heartless and cold person. You know, emotions, and to this day, God is still repairing a lot of the emotional area of my life.
Yeah.
And it left me at a place where it was really hard to relate in those areas of my life. But I continued that into around 1992. I went to a program called Victor Outreach in Gilroy, California. I ended up going through there, in and out. It was just hard to get my feet up. You know, and I got married in 94. That didn't last very long because I never dealt with the addiction.
Right, right.
You see, the addiction was a mask for what really was wrong. Uh-huh. You know, and I never really dealt with what was really wrong with me. You know, and I come to find out today the real thing is that I was just lost.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking for something that would be sustainable enough to change my whole life, my whole thinking, because, you know, the addiction to crack, it led to addiction to pornography,
sure.
You know, and then it led to just not knowing how to treat a woman, not knowing what a real woman was like, you know, so three marriages.
Yeah, and you're exactly right when it comes to pornography, because they create this image of this is what a woman is supposed to be like. She's ready and willing at any moment, and subservient
whatever your wants are, whatever pleasures you.
And it's really an illusion. And I would encourage anyone who's dealing with that to understand that vice right there in itself is totally self-gratifying. It's an illusion, and it's not real, and it destroys. It destroyed a part of me that God is repairing today. You know, the intimate part of my life as a man should have with a woman. You know, it's hard sometimes even for me to relate to my wife because of those things, you know. And we sit down and we talk. And in my addiction, of crack and pornography, it destroyed the main essence of who God created me.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so God is, he's repairing that now.
Amen.
But we're talking 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking 30 years of addiction. Then I came here to South Bend in 98, and I continued that way for, man, another 10 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I, job after job after job mm-hmm. after job.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was married twice here,
okay.
previous to my marriage now, and it destroyed my life.
Mm.
It destroyed my life. It destroyed my kids' life. I have a daughter, one biological daughter. I haven't seen her face to face since she was 23.
Mm. Mm.
She just turned 28, and these are the things that I deal with today.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Even though I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and I preach. Because of the life that I lived, mm-hmm. it left a lot of scars,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what I have to deal with today is trusting God to heal those scars in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen my daughter since she was three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that every Father's Day that comes by,
right.
every Christmas that comes by,
wow.
I wonder what she's thinking.
Yeah.
You know, but because of because of my addiction,
right.
It cost me a lot.
Yeah,
it cost a lot, and I ask myself every day, would going back to that life be worth it? And it wouldn't be worth it
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to hurt people like I did before,
mm-hmm.
because I could see things clearer today than I did then. But we're talking about a life for I bet you probably the first 15 years, every day, all day.
Mm.
That's all I did.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, I was just going to ask. You know, I have a friend, a good friend, who dealt with addiction. And we had a conversation even before we got on the air. And you said, you know, a lot of Christians also deal with addiction. There's a lot of addiction in the church. Now, he told me he used to be addicted to crack. And he came back. Now he's preaching and what have you. And then people might go, well, that's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. He's addicted to chocolate. He said my addiction moved from one thing to another.
Mm.
So talk about that for a second.
The strange thing about addiction is that, excuse me, is addiction is really cunning, because what the crack did, it made me think that this was the most important thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved from an addiction to a habit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it moved from a habit to a way of life.
Yeah.
And once it moves past a habit, you can break a habit.
Mm-hmm.
But if I've practiced something for so long, what it's done, it's literally carved a niche into my thinking process of life.
Yeah.
So it would be like I would get paid, and the first thing I would do was run and get crack.
Sure.
And I knew I had bills. I knew rent was due.
Right.
But it had become so much a way of life now. It was no longer a habit.
Mm-hmm.
It moved past the physical. It moved past the habit, and it moved into this is just who I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you kick one addiction, and you don't deal with that thinking process,
right,
all you do is you switch your addiction for something else,
right? Yeah.
Because what has happened is you haven't dealt with the thinking process,
right?
And once it moves past, like I said, once it moves past a habit and then to a physical, it engraves itself into a thinking process. And what happens in addiction a lot of time in recovery. What needs to take place is we need to correct thinking errors.
Correct. Right.
We had a lady, her name is Deborah Smith. She was great. She was she ran the Life Treatment Center for a lot of years. She retired. She moved down to Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay.
And she would come to our recovery at SOS. And what she would just tell us is that all I'm here to do is correct thinking error.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happens, the reason why it went from crack to chocolate
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
because of thinking error.
Yeah. Hadn't been changed.
Hasn't been changed.
Right, yeah, right.
Well, we're going to pick this right back up.
Yeah.
We have to take a little bit of a break. We are His Stories. Here, I'm Gil Michel. I'm here with Kevin Michelin and our guest, Sean Hooker. We've been talking about addiction and how it can be transferred. We're going to pick that conversation up right after this break.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
So, let me ask you, Who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
And we are back with our guest today here on His Stories podcast and broadcast. His name is Sean Hooker. This is Gil Michel. I'm here with Kevin Michelin. And we're talking to Sean about his testimony of how God took him out of 25-plus years of addiction to drugs and pornography to bring him to the place where he's the man of God that he is today. And like we always say, still a work in progress.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we haven't stopped. But, Kevin, you were going to bring something up.
Yeah,
well,
I was
the
just
break.
Thinking when you're talking about those 25-plus years of, you said, kind of continuous party. And prior to us taping, we talked a little bit about long-suffering. Mm-hmm. Can you see where the Lord, through that those experiences and through those times, you know, he's a pursuer.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And where he pursued you. Can you?
I remember some days. I remember there's one time I think I probably had smoked probably, and no exaggeration, probably upwards of about $1,000 with the crack in one day. Yeah. And I remember being in the shack behind my mother's house, and I had a bed in there and a bucket for the restroom, and it just had got that bad. Mm-hmm. And I was so far gone to I thought I was going to die that night. But what I vividly remember, this is before I ever preached one message, I remember thinking about the word, and it would just come, and I would come, and it would just go over and over in my mind. And I remember that night.
That is sweet.
Was the only way that I was able to come down off my high and go to sleep. And I remember that to this day. And I believe throughout my whole addiction that people might not understand this, God, he had to walk with me.
Yeah.
Because the things that I found myself in, the guns I've had in my face, the triggers pulled, the bullets by my head, and all of those things like that. I was out one night, and some people, I was going to score some dope, and some people had shot my back window out. You know, I didn't want it, so I took off, and they shot my back window out. So the next day, the next morning, I got up. It was an individual's car that I was engaged to. I got up, and I was like, man, I got to find a way to fix this window.
Yeah.
Well, as I sat in my car, and I looked down by my brake pedal, and under the brake pedal was a spent bullet that had came into the car.
Oh, my goodness.
And I sat there that day, and I knew, and I've always told people that God had guarded me that night because that bullet, the way it came in the back of the car and where it landed, it should have hit me right in the back of the head.
Oh, wow.
But it didn't. So, you know, I know when God has a plan for our lives, He won't let the enemy kill us. I think in my life, God called me to preach at an early age, and for some reason, I just didn't have it in me to just run that way then.
Yeah.
You know, so it was either you're going to be over here or you're going to be over there. But he kept me over there, you know, like I was sharing before. I've never spent one day in the hospital, never spent one day in the penitentiary. I've never been shot.
And that is amazing in all
of
this.
25 years.
That's
25 years. Yeah. I've never been in a pair of handcuffs concerning crack cocaine.
Wow.
I've never caught a case. And it wasn't because I was snitching and telling on people. It's just because God, and I've never, he didn't let my body get riddled with disease, you know.
Yeah.
All of the people and all of the women. Mm-hmm. That come with that game.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, he never let my body be infected with that kind of stuff.
Wow.
You know, and I'm 52 years old today, and I can outrun my 9-year-old kid.
you know?
And he done that for a reason. Because now is the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, the perspective. We've had past guests on who've dealt with addiction, who've been arrested, have gone through those.
Gone through the pen.
That comes with the life.
It comes with the life. But here's the funny thing is, Your perspective is like, you know, God kept me. And they'll tell you the way God kept them was to have them arrested.
It wasn't for me.
It wasn't for you.
It wasn't.
That's why this show is called His Stories. Everybody has their own story and their own journey.
Yeah.
And I believe I tell a lot of people, you know, I stood in front of a judge one time and they wanted to give me 30 years. But I told God, I can't do 30 years. Not because I was scared, but because I knew my mindset then.
Yeah.
I knew I'd never get out. Because it was either kill or be killed.
Yeah.
You know? And I stopped carrying a gun at a young age.
Sure.
You know, because I knew me. If you back me in a corner, it's me or you.
You're coming out, yeah.
But God, I think in his infinite wisdom, knew those things about my character and makeup, so he didn't allow those things
to even get to that
point. To get to that point.
Right, yeah.
And that's where I'm saying, again, that God's, his preserving word, you know, it kept me in the beginning. Now, if you ask me if I do it all over again, if it was my choice, I wouldn't do it that way.
Right.
I wouldn't do it that way. But I can guarantee you, I'd have started serving God at a much earlier age than being 50 years old, 49, 50 years old.
Yeah. So we also talked prior about the one key word, too, and that's prior to the taping of the show, is the word identity.
Yeah.
And so you had that identity of that addiction, if that's fair. And then now, what's your identity?
Today, I'm going back to school. I'm going to the Excel Center to get my Core 40 High School diploma.
Cool.
I'm going back to school to do that. Then I want to get in some counseling. Right. But I'm sure who I am today.
Yeah.
So when I drive down the street and I see the old spots and I see the old cats I used to hang out with, I know that's not who I am no more.
Yeah. Amen.
You know? Praise God. I was shunned for a lot of years by my family. I really begin to think that, you know what, Hooker, this is just who you're going to be for the rest of your life. Every time you try to get out, you go back. Every time you try to get out, you go back. But you know, it wasn't about my time. It was about God's time. And when he saw fit, he reached down and he grabbed me and he shook me loose from all of it. So today, one thing I know I won't ever do is go back and smoke dope. But there's a lot of residual stuff still left in me that has to be dealt with.
It's renewing of the mind, Paul would say.
And exactly. And because I understand my identity today, I'm able to face those things. Even sometimes it hurts when I'm not able to muster the love for my wife like I want to love her. You know, and I tell God, I don't know how to love a woman. I don't know how to love my children. I don't know how to counsel nobody. God, I was a dope fiend for 30 years. I used and abused women. And my gratification was pornography.
Yeah.
So how do I love this woman of God that you gave me?
Man, that's real talk right there, man. That's real talk.
How do, when she says, hey, just show me some affection. I don't know what affection is. Affection to me was like, you know, here, hit this.
Right.
You know, so here I am now, just celebrated a year anniversary.
Congratulations.
And congrats. That is a huge monumental thing.
It really is.
Yes, sir.
It was rough because I'm like, man, God, here I am.
I think getting off caffeine's big.
I didn't have a coffee today. Yesterday I had a headache.
That's
an addiction, man.
I know. But you know what? It's something so funny. That's what I say. It's real talk. You're talking about just from addiction. Listen, man, there are executives of banks, people who raise in church, who don't know how to love their wives.
Right, and that's so essential.
Yeah, just because of the way they grew up or what they were modeled manhood to be. Maybe, well, you're talking about addiction, and maybe a guy grew up watching their father be a workaholic.
Right.
And because of that, you know, I've heard people say, yeah, his real mistress is his job.
Right.
Like,
so he's at work 16 hours a day. He comes home, eats, sleeps, at the office again. You know, so we look at crack. We look at these other addictions, pornography. But all addictions do have the same result.
They're the same result. They destroy everything around you.
Yeah.
And you know what the worst thing about addiction is that we live in a life of denial. And Pastor Deb, she told us the acronym for denial is don't even know I'm lying. You're the last person to know.
That's good.
You look up. I remember walking by a mirror one time. I'm 6'2". I walked past a mirror. I was 6'2". I weighed 148 pounds. I looked horrible. But I was okay. Until I looked around me. My mom packed her whole house up, handed me $20, and said, man, I got to go.
Wow.
You know, and addiction is like that. You're the last person to know I got a problem. Everybody's telling you. Things falling apart around you. But, man, you all right. Now, addiction is cunning.
Sin is deceitful.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, so.
Let me ask you something. There's a concept that I've been trying to understand more and more, and that is we have an enemy, who's the father of lies, and we have the father of truth, which is obviously our Heavenly Father. Is there a lie that has permeated that has held through your life? I know it's kind of an odd question, but a lot of times, like if I have, you know, looking at if I have looked at pornography, you know, what is that trigger that I run to that comfort, so to speak, mm-hmm. of that addiction? Because there's a comfort in it.
Right. And familiarity.
Yeah, familiarity. Yeah. And it's almost like a, okay.
The old blanket.
Yeah, yeah. And that's my area in which I know within my life, I have to put those huge walls up of protection. And there's a lie that that's embedded within me that says, I can get my gratification from that, or whatever, you know.
Well, I think you hit it on the head. I don't think it was different, because I was always the type of person that I'd rather not just deal with you, period. And it's the same thing about life. Yeah. And those walls go up, and once I isolate myself, the only person I have to take care of myself is myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so the lie to me is no one's going to do you better than yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so when stuff starts bothering me, or my wife starts fussing, or stuff starts happening, still today I have to really watch that lie of just... Mm-hmm.
Try to isolate yourself from everybody.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that thing makes me... That lie is better off like this.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You're better off by yourself.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and I think about that today, being married. The enemy tried to tell me, see, you were clean for a few years. You could have just... Why didn't you just stay single and see how that worked out?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So I have to fight that lie today in my life that tells me, you know what? You're better off by yourself. Mm. You're better off by yourself. But that's what led me to my addiction, being
sure.
by myself.
Amen.
Yeah. Wow. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Wow. We have been, for the past several minutes, talking with Sean Hooker. He's been sharing his testimony about how God brought him out, is bringing him out, bring him to the new place that God has designed for him. Sean, any parting words? How can people contact you if you want them to contact you? I don't know.
You can contact me, Sean Hooker. You can hit me up on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm willing, you know, to talk with anyone. Mm-hmm. You can, I have a Facebook out right now. Also, if you're in the South Bend area, come by Greater St. Matthews at 2705 Marquette.
Wonderful.
Nice.
If you really want to contact me, I'll leave my number and information with Pastor Michelle.
Nice.
They can get in contact with me.
Yeah, awesome.
I'd be more than happy to talk.
Amen. And before Kevin closes us out in prayer, I just want to encourage everyone out there. If you would like to share a testimony on our show, if you'd like to sponsor us in any way, feel free to contact us. We're on Facebook as well, His Stories Broadcast. Or you can go to HisStoriesPodcast.com to get the actually past archive of past shows, and also go to His Stories Broadcast to donate there as well. There's so many ways you can get in contact with us. If you want to keep in contact with us, look at past shows and find out more information. We'll put Sean's information there in the show notes, and so that you can contact him if you want to continue the conversation as well. So, amen.
Amen. And this is a great just a facility to facilitate it, being able to just get to know who you are as well. So if we can go to the Lord in prayer, let's do that. Lord, Father, you have set us free. For those who know you, we can say that with all confidence. And so, Lord, that we just thank you that you're a God that is long-suffering with us, that you're a God that has tremendous mercy. You also show us tough love because you're a great Father. And, Lord, I just give you praise for Sean's testimony, and I give you praise for what you're doing in this program, too. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
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 You make us strong. Alone without you.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at HisStoriesBroadcast.com. That's HisStoriesBroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.